I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
The winning team, all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Bit of a staggered start to the second halves, of course, because some games are back underway and some are not. Roger Hanna says a bright start by Ross County. St Johnstone haven't got going. I think it's probably still half time at Celtic Park. Let's check in with Andrew McLean and get him to elaborate on the events so far.
Yeah, still half time here, waiting for the Celtic and Hibs players to emerge from the tunnel. Quite an interesting first half, really. You remember a few weeks ago Brendan Rodgers was talking about his Celtic team and how, after, you know, on their way to wrapping up the title, with the points gap being so big that he felt the team were too comfortable at times in some games. It was after that game at McDermott Park at St Johnstone, wasn't it, that he really highlighted that he wanted a reaction from his players. He's got that reaction from his players. Since then, they had that run of 3 games where they scored 5 goals in every single one of those matches ahead of the Rangers game. But maybe the first 25-30 minutes of this game, the Celtic team kind of reverted back into that. They had a lot of the ball, just weren't really doing a whole lot with it. It kind of had a feel of one of those, you know, end of season matches with the sun shining, with the players already maybe thinking about their summer holidays. But Brendan Rodgers knows that they need to push on for these final 3 league matches. They've got that Scottish Cup final to think about, and then that Hibs goal that Martin Boyle scored, which, you know, there was definitely a stroke of luck with Josh Campbell's shot that deflected into his path. It was a good finish from him and ran over to the Hibs fans to celebrate. But that maybe just kind of sparked Celtic into life at that point, and the players thought, you know what, we really need to step it up a level here. And Nicholas Coon has been the man to do that so far. The goal was really well taken. It was a ball over the top from Anthony Ralston, and he just nicked in. He sort of ghosted in behind the Hibs defence. Nobody was tracking him. A nice touch past Jordan Smith and just rolled it into the net. And then after that, turn provided a lovely ball over the top for Adam Ida, who maybe will have been disappointed with his first half hour or so. He had a couple of chances, didn't really threaten Jordan Smith too much. A couple of easy saves for him so far, but this time the ball rolled through to him. Really nice finish across the goalkeeper, and it just completely changes the complexion of the game. If Hibs had managed to get in ahead, they'll have really thought that they had a great chance today of getting a vital 3 points, or maybe even a point, put the pressure on Aberdeen, who of course visit Ibrox tomorrow. But Hibs have a lot of work to do now. Their team are now out for the second half. I don't think there's going to be any changes for Hibs. Brendan Rodgers still has his Celtic players in the changing room. Maybe a few things that he wants to just work on with them so that they can continue that excellent 5 minutes or so that they had before the break. But every single one of their outfield players were warming up during the break, so I wouldn't expect any changes to be made by Brendan Rodgers when the team makes its way out the tunnel.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Get your essential medicines and vaccines before you head off on holiday.
We'll probably be able to check in with David Friel again, because that game was finished a long time after the others. But Brendan Rodgers, Mark, be pleased with the end to the half, if not the beginning of it?
I think so. A bit sloppy at the beginning of the half, of course. You concede the first chance to Boyle, but don't learn your lessons and then concede. So sometimes you just need something like that to kickstart you. But I think Celtic, on the whole, created plenty of chances. Obviously, Ida missed a few. A few others went close. But 2 goals against this Hibs side is not an easy thing to do, as we've seen over the past 16 or 17 weeks. So I think he'll be happy. Wonder how long he'll leave it before he starts making those changes. Bernardo, McCown, even Kenny. He's got a very strong bench to pick from.
Yeah, very happy. Nicholas Coon, I'm thinking back to Nicholas Coon's goal celebration when he scored at Tannadice the other week, when he made the gestures about blah, 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 meaning that there's too much talk about him. Well, you know, we talk about football 2 hours per night, 5 days a week, and then 4 or 6 hours at the weekend. So, yeah, this is Scotland. Everyone talks about football all the time, but Coon has responded. He scored a good goal at Tannadice. He scored a good goal today. and he is the brightest thing about Celtic this afternoon.
Can't disagree with that. I don't know about celebration, whether that's what he meant or not. Only he'll
it's
know.
It's meant to be something along those lines,
right,
isn't it?
Okay, fine. But he's hitting form at the right time, leading up to a cup final, going for a treble. He's scored today, as Hugh quite rightly pointed out, and also set up Adam Eder as well. That's what he's there for. So he'll be happy with his first half performance. I think Brendan Rodgers will be very pleased indeed.
See if he scores again. I hope he does a typewriter celebration to slam the clueless football writers that left him off of their Player of the Year shortlist.
So, sorry, who are the three names again?
Oh, you're not going to let us
McGregor.
Go.
McGregor. Oh,
the same, yeah, sorry, same as the other
Triantis,
list.
Triantis, right, yep. Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, I wonder who'll win it, but Maeda should win it, but you never know with him. I wonder if he'll give a
I'm surprised they put Maeda in it. That's how bad they do it.
I wonder if he'll give a little nod to that, you know, whoever picks up the award, if it's McGregor or if it's Maeda. Supporting our teammate.
See, now he's referring to the journalistic trade as them.
Yeah.
This is use.
Yeah, use.
Dangerous use talk in this day and age.
Yeah. Use could destroy
a football manager now.
Yeah, use can destroy careers. Just like that.
Well, I've tried it.
Oh, that's right. Did you stand up to them?
I had to fight a few battles with that man over in the corner.
I would have loved to have seen that.
Never complimentary to me. Never.
You put him in his place, eh?
Oh, I had a phone call for Spain for them once. I don't know if you can remember.
Oh, right, Shelley's more.
That's how angry it was. It cost me a fortune.
You phoned from Spain to Hugh?
At the airport, yeah. He wrote something. It was a time we were going head-to-head with Livy, and obviously he was very pally with his good pal Jim Leishman. Gave me a little bit of criticism. I thought,
I've never heard this before, right?
Not, oh, it's taken, I don't know, 12 if it can years remember to come out. It's yes, like
that's why prior to one PFA dinner, I meet him in the pub by accident, and he referred to me as a bleep dinosaur.
Well, I've heard that one, but what did you phone in?
Oh, I went after. I had a few strong words, and Hugh gave me a few strong words back. It was a good ding dong.
That's the nature of the profession.
You are so sensitive.
Yeah,
aren't you?
I will.
He is so sensitive.
Look, because people, like all people who are thin skinned, he pretends he's not.
I know.
Oh, look, see if I get criticised in any social media platform, I can't sleep.
I know, but I know, but that's what I'm saying. But you say that you don't care, and you really, really do.
Anyone listening, get on to social media.
Listen,
I love to be loved.
I was verbally abused by Biggling News.
Exactly.
As soon as threw me out, that leash threw me out.
See, last week when we left here, him and I went to a pub before the PFA do, and he's uploaded a picture of himself in his suit.
By the way, I've seen somebody.
He's sitting through the comments going, what's wrong with my jacket? Why is everybody saying my suit jacket's too long?
By the way, I love that.
Right, but again, as if to prove this exact point, he goes, see, I don't mind all that. I don't mind that.
I threw that suit in the bin.
Let's go back to the suit jacket, because we've not spoke about it.
How long was that?
It just looked long, the photos.
Honestly, it was nearly touching your ankles.
I didn't think it looked too bad in real life, I have to say.
It was
maybe
massive.
I just didn't notice.
Also, sporting three buttons. I've not seen the old three buttoner for a while.
Oh, listen, what am I wanting two buttons for? You know what I mean? I'm a three button guy.
Three button.
I know. Wow. I was. Anyway, there was a lot of good comments. Yeah.
I know. By the way,
I just thought your phone call was nowhere near Sir Alex at his peak. I knew my place. He was the best.
Wow.
Like throwing you.
As
out
soon as you start phoning journalists, you must have never been done with that though.
Not one of them. Do you know, there's another thing, right? One league, second, cup final, semi-finals, everything, right? I listen to these guys on this radio. Not one of them ever put me in for a job. Not one of them.
Good to see he's not bitter after 20 years.
I can't. I hope they all fail.
Are you going to the football writers dinner?
Yeah, I'm going. I'm going with my good friend, Roger.
Hypocrite is the pair of you. One refers to us as them.
A free meal.
And the other one.
A free meal. I'm there. And by the way, here's the worst thing, right? I've picked out my outfit already. Know how you do?
Nope.
The worst thing in the world for any guy is walking into a place and somebody gets the same suit on as you. Do you agree with that?
Well, no, I think that's less a problem if you're a man, more a woman, is it not?
The dress.
Because guys
are kind of suits are all kind of similar.
Unless you've got first, like one out of Dumb and Dumber.
No, the first thing planning? I do, I take my jack off. So
hold on, there's only like a black, a grey, or a navy suit. Is really no,
but you might have a blue checked one, right?
You were like in the 2000s, early 2000s. You're not wearing a chain suit.
No, I'm going plain, Jane.
Bit of a ding dong between Nicholas Kuhn and Jack Iredale. Really going at it, having to be dragged apart, booked both of them, and booking for both as the referee tends to do.
Back Jack Iredale.
Bigger laddie. Although maybe Kuhn's been in the wars.
Never back the big ones. We had the argument. The gorilla are 100 men.
That's right. Maybe he's saying, Andrew McLean's suggesting maybe Kuhn's not happy that Jack Iredale got goal of the season at Fraser's PFA do. Oh. Maybe Nicholas Kuhn felt he should have been in the running.
What'd you make of that? Deserved?
This is a guy that thought we had steak pie when we had venison. I think he can remember.
I sat on the fence with all decisions, especially with Fraser. I let Fraser just take over. He's a good friend. I like Fraser. You know, I'd never say a bad word about him. Bit boring, but very good at hosting a dinner.
A claim for a Hearts penalty, but half-hearted really. It was Cammy Devlin. He thought that Thompson's challenge was unfair. Ref not having it. Fraser Wishart very quick to remind us it's actually the Sky Sports goal of the season, voted by the fans.
There you go. Fraser takes no responsibility for anything, does
he? Distancing himself.
Well, that's a sign of a good PFA chairman.
All that means is that the Hibs fans all just clubbed together and battered their laptops into submission.
Yep.
We do the second half teaser.
I suppose, why not? Glad you're here.
The second half teaser.
With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
I think this is tough, but then again, I am a bleep dinosaur. I have played with Shane Duffy and Lee Hodgson. I have been managed by Mark McGee and Lee Johnson. I played for two Scottish clubs in two different decades and won one major trophy while playing here. Who am I? Lot of information. Played with Shane Duffy and Lee Hodgson. Been managed by Mark McGee and Lee Johnson. I played for two Scottish clubs in two different decades and won one major trophy while playing here. Who am I?
That's a cracker. Get on it at Clyde SSB and send us the name over. It's the Who Am I? Just one name. Fire it onto a tweet. This is a big goal, though.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
St Johnston 2, Ross County 1. Elliot Watt guides the shot past Jordan Amisa. He was teed up by Sidibe. And maybe there's something on here for the Saints.
Well, this is fighting for your lifetime. And they are doing it. They've gone a goal up. They've been pulled back to equality. And now they've gone a goal up again. So, you know, everything's on the line here. St Johnson, if they get that result, it's panic time in the Highlands.
Lennon Miller's gone into the book. He slid in on Cammy Devlin. I think the Hearts fans and players want more. I think they want red. I'm not sure they'll get it, but there's been a bit of a delay anyway, so it'll be a nervous wait for Lennon Miller, because that would probably be that in a Motherwell jersey then, wouldn't it, if that was to be a red?
It's just everyone, a summer,
everyone,
yeah,
everyone
he's
assumes
off.
He's off and
the Celtic Park
suspension. Behave
abroad.
Behave.
Italy, somewhere like that.
Well, I'll be interested to see where he applies his.
Italy's the
year.
Place for Scottish players. Most of all for Scott McTominay, who's now just the King of Naples.
And he's got them on square sausage or something, did I see this morning?
Yeah, it's a.
Spreading the local delicacy.
It's a pizza with lawn sausage or something like that.
Don't mean to be cynical, but.
I don't know if he's.
Do you think Scott McTominay's even into square sausage?
I don't think he's invented that or brought that.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
But whatever. We love him anyway and they love him, so.
I took a bit of criticism the other day saying that I didn't like the pizzas from Napoli.
From Naples, you did, Naples, yeah.
Yeah, because that is the home of the pizza.
Right.
And a lot of people, this does my head in. A lot of people, I've been to Naples and the pizzas are good. I don't care, mate. I don't like them. Have you been to Naples?
No. Seriously, I thought you were going to like take it back. You stand by that. You don't like the pizzas 100%. In Naples.
Yeah, and they're home of the pizza.
Like all of them.
And the traffic, you kind of get across
that's
the road.
Different. That's never a different issue.
I'd never assumed.
Which pizza did you get in Naples?
Margherita.
Because he prefers the big thick ones you get out of those kind of all-in-one takeaways.
Kebab meat on it. Like
them. Pineapple. Terrible.
I've never been to Naples. No, I'd like to go.
I actually think that sums you up. What? Really, complaining about the pizzas in Naples. That might just be you in a nutshell.
Nah, they weren't the best. Didn't like them. Too doughy.
That's the thing, they wouldn't be. They would be the opposite to
that. No, they were too doughy.
No.
The other supermarkets I go to is get better pizzas, let me tell you.
East Kilbride are 2-1 up in that playoff against Bonnyrigg Rose. A double from Cammy Elliott is a huge game, of course, trying to get themselves into the SPFL.
What'll happen there if they don't, you think? Call it a day.
Well, I don't think the full place will shut down.
No.
But I think there will be
big changes.
Big changes, yeah.
It just feels like you keep, you know, you put everything into it and give it a real season. Good go. And
yeah, for twice to happen, Stranraer last year, they'd fancy their chances against Bonnyrigg, and I mean that in the greatest respect.
Because if you've, as a coaching team or as a player, if you've all, let's be honest, sort of walked the Lowland League, do you want to go and play another full season in it? And I don't know, but it would be interesting. We'll wait and see what happens. But they do lead Bonnyrigg Rose by 2-1 at the moment. It's at that stage where teams are starting to make changes. Tans are on for John for St Mirren as they look to add to their lead. Adewumi on for Palmer Holden as Dundee look to try and get back into the game at Kilmarnock. Peyton on for Trapanovsky for Dundee United. It's getting hard to keep up. Sven Sprangler's hurt. He's getting lengthy treatment. Remember, St Johnstone do lead at the moment, which is obviously all they can do, and it does. It pulls them within 3 points of Ross County, remember, because
see,
they
Ross County lose that. As many would that have been?
Seven defeats in a row.
Do you think that at this late stage that the chairman would do anything?
No.
Too late. I think the chairman likes Don Cowie. I think he would back him.
If St Johnstone won this afternoon, they're away to Dundee next game. I'm sure they're away to Dundee. 8 in a row.
What's the point, though? You know, like, you just...
Different. Well, hold on a minute. You look at what these guys have done getting in as interim manager and coach.
What, took over in fourth and finished fourth?
Well,
that's a good point, Gordon.
That's terrible.
He's absolutely done it.
Come on.
That is
hold
supposed
on.
To be a friend.
The reason I can crack that joke, not as true as it may be, I have been his biggest supporter in here. So don't
I'll
even
let
start
you away with it.
I actually felt I was giving it too much. I was being too sycophantic. I had to bring him back down.
Well, Partick made the change because they believed
they were slipping
that
out of that.
Slipping.
You are right.
Right.
And so that's why it was a cheap joke. But let me interrupt you.
Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Goal, Hatate. It's a lovely finish. The ball just drops to him around about 16 yards or so out, and he makes no mistake. Finding the bottom corner, has had a brilliant season, Rio Hatate, all in all. And he has scored again. Celtic 3, Hibs 1, and another one of these.
Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Dundee United are not going to be able to take advantage of Hibs getting beat, though, because they are 2-0 down. This St Mirren post-split run has been brilliant. It's Ayunga, left-footed, nice finish, poor defending. And it's Dundee United 0, St Mirren 2. What a result in the making that is.
Certainly is. Stephen Robinson, as soon as he achieved top six, you think, is that their season over? Feet up, enjoy just the remaining games. But no, I mean, we always say an opponent that's relaxed sometimes can be the most dangerous, and it's actually proven that way in the last few weeks. So well done to St Mirren.
Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Hearts to Motherwell 0, and it's a Lawrence Shankland header. He really is ticking upwards towards the end of the season. Got a double last weekend. He's got a double. He's on the hat-trick today. It was Penrice with the cross, Shankland with the header, and that will be a long road back for Motherwell in the capital sunshine. Hearts 2, Motherwell 0.
Somewhere down south, Neil Critchley is looking at this and thinking, if he'd scored those goals for me, I'd still be in the job. Hearts would be top six, and I would still be getting a wage.
Well, if you play him as a centre forward, you've got a better chance of scoring the goals.
Correct.
That's what I would say.
Correct.
Again, I still feel that is harsh on Critchley. Is that the points total we gained, you know, would have been good enough to get him up the table? So, you know, a lot of the damage was done before he arrived. But nevertheless, the players have started responding, and well done to Liam Fox. Not easy, been on the coaching team and been part of what happened before and then taking over. But Daz is right. He's made that important decision. Just keep shankling up, get bodies round about him, get balls into the box.
If you're Stephen Robinson, do you think I could have a chance at the Hearts job?
100%. Why not?
You must.
100%.
Look at that. As Gordon said, the post-split run is, and you know the results that took him into the top six. He's had some season.
Yeah, he really is a good striker, though, Lauren Shankland. I know all this stuff this season, and people focus on the limitations, but Motherwell have got loads of defenders back. Gordon, I think Thompson has him initially as the kind of left back. There are central defenders in there, and he just runs across and gets the header. And in fact,
Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
It's turning into a bit of a doing now. Hearts 3, Motherwell 0, and it's Cammy Devlin. The initial shot saved by Aston Oxborough, and the ball put into the bottom corner. Sorry, it's Alan Forrest. My mistake, Alan Forrest, who buries the ball into the corner. His brother could be doing with a goal before the end of the season, but Alan has got one.
Funnily enough, he was talking yesterday to the press about some of the sticky takes off the Hearts fans. They haven't been impressed with them, but there you are. That's the best way to answer them.
A good response from the players in recent weeks for Hearts, because it was a pressure game up at Dingwall last week. Went through a sticky spell, got out of that, and that's a comfortable win. So they're finishing it off in a bit of style. Plenty of goals.
Yeah, I agree. Since Fox come in, has he won every game?
That's only his second game.
Two, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, that's what I'm taught.
Give him the job.
No. That's what I'm saying about, if you're Ross County and you lose today, I would not be, I know what you've got to say, I would not be surprised if it pulls the trigger on him.
Two games to go?
Why not? You could lose the next two games. He's lost the last eight.
That's the point. It would only be, you don't get to a stage where you're almost like expected to go, either to go down
has
or to be there.
He's never done this before.
But do you know what I mean?
Has Ross County never done this before?
They've been 11th for the last few weeks now, haven't they? Mm. Does it really?
Sometimes like, you know, look, like, and you think,
if Hearts dip near the bottom of the table, there's a big panic and they've got higher expectations. And Ross County are not going to sack their manager two games to go, are they?
Tell you who would be on the list if they did, though. Derek Adams.
Oh, he'd be back.
Right, one of the boys are correct. Has Ross County not got previous for us? Have they not
sacked a manager with a couple of games to go
near the end of the season, changed it?
Can't remember, can't recall.
One of the boys will tell me.
Oh wow, this could be quite something. So Kyle Vassell, popular Kilmarnock captain, out for a while, injury setback, comes on, gets a great reception, runs on, pushes Simon Murray in the box, and the referee Don Robertson's going to the screen.
Oh, that's a good impact.
A real impact on Simon Murray to knock him over. That is quite remarkable.
Yeah, one of the leaders in that squad.
Referee said play on. Fraser Wishart felt it was risky. Don Robertson's going to go to the screen. He's literally just on the pitch.
Derek will be fuming with that.
He was going to announce his move to Hearts today if Kilmarnock had won that.
Yeah, could have.
I'm joking, by the way, in case anyone was taking that. Maybe he was. But
dangerous to joke.
Certainly not one that I'm officially aware of. That's going to be quite something if that plays
so
out.
Is Vassell coming on so pumped up, the adrenaline rush, and he's just clattered the first player he saw?
Yeah, I mean,
it sounds like it, Hugh.
It's probably one of them. You're running on, Mark, thinking, I'm the man to handle. I'll handle Simon Murray at these set pieces.
Yeah.
I know he's physical, but so am I. I can stand up to this.
Well, the players have to realise that the cameras are all round about them now, and they don't get off with things as lightly as they once did. So they just need to be careful. But what a moment it could be for Dundee, because you look at the points and the way things are sitting. St Johnson just creeping up there. Scores remain the same. So this could be a big moment.
Yeah, Callum Slattery's taken a sore one at Tynecastle, but Motherwell fans enjoying the sunshine, but not much else. 3-0 down now. It's fallen apart quite quickly. Michael Vimmer, not impressed with what he's witnessed. Celtic now 3-1 up, remember. Don't forget that Rio Hatate goal. Still nothing, have we, on this?
106 goals for the season for Celtic. That was Postecoglou's achievement.
Oh, 114. I think Brendan Rodgers' first spell, maybe.
106, yeah, so, well...
Oh wow, looks like a problem with VAR because Don Robertson's like beside the screen, he's not looking at it. So
they've not plugged it in.
No, they need to do is switch off and switch it back on again.
Wonder if there's another monitor. I think
that would be profoundly embarrassing.
Oh,
because this
can you imagine
such a,
Tony Docherty?
No penalty. There we go. So if has he seen something though? Because he's gone to the monitor, so usually they overturn the original decision. Or is it that VAR's not working, or the monitor's not working, and he therefore has to stick with the on-field decision, which was no penalty? We'll need to get a bit of clarity on that one.
Well, Tony Docherty would be fuming after his rant last week.
Oh, yeah.
And imagine if VAR wasn't working and it's Rob Deeside a penalty.
Ooh. Might tip him over.
Well, I've had a good afternoon of football.
Oh, by the way, I think it could be that because he's explaining it all to the Dundee players.
Oh, no. That's a shocker then. I have every sympathy then with Tony Docherty.
Yeah, but I mean, also at the same time, what do you do? What do you do in those situations? It's always it's written in that the referee's decision would be final in the event that VAR.
So Clydesdale House must have the feed, though.
Do you know what? See, to be fair, right, we are kind of speculating a bit. So let's nip it for now, because I don't actually know what was seen or not seen on the screen. But
if you go back to the as things stand table, you've got Dundee on 37 points, Ross County on 35, and St Johnstone on 32, as things stand. So it's all about those three clubs now in nobody else's business.
3-1 East Kilbride, so that would be a decent advantage to take to Bonnyrigg.
Bit of breathing space there. One more you would want. You're right.
Well, that's what they did in the last time,
yeah,
wasn't it?
4-1. 4-1. Yeah, about 10 men as well.
Jordan McGregor, I think, was he the man sent off in that previous round?
Did we have Jordan McGregor?
We had him at Airdrie, we did.
Yeah, we told him everything he knows.
Has scored the goal. Hugh, remind us of your teaser, if you can, please.
Yes, it's very complicated. I played with Shane Duffy and Lee Hodgson. I was managed by Mark McGee and Lee Johnson. I played for two Scottish clubs in two different decades and won one major trophy while playing here. Who am I?
Okay, a few guesses coming in. Scott says, is it Jamie Murphy?
Nope.
Although I think he's now he knows it's not Jamie Murphy, but he thinks he fits the rest of the criteria, apart from played for more clubs. Spaceman wants Mark McNulty.
Nope.
Greg's Gardens and Jamie Dock and Chris Geddes all going for Brandon Barker.
No.
Okay.
Struggling with that, man.
Keep your guesses coming in at Clyde SSB. Triple change, Motherwell, Armstrong, Wilson and Dixon all on. Watt, Thompson, Masmanisi off. Won't matter, it was a bit of a dead rubber anyway, and Motherwell are 3-0 down, so nothing is realistically going to change there.
Interesting at Celtic Park, three quarters of the game gone, no changes.
Well, James Forrest is ready to come on. Ah. Is this the day? Huh. Is this the day he gets his goal to keep that remarkable run going of scoring in consecutive seasons?
If they get a penalty, they're giving it to him.
100%. Surely. At 3-1 up?
Mm.
Surely. No, are you sceptical?
Are you, Mark?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I guess the players will be aware of the situation. They've got to be, yeah. But not sure if there's that much
sentimentality
in that at that level.
I would think sentimentality.
Or if James Forrest would put himself forward to say, "Give me the ball,"
because
he's very humble.
But somebody can walk towards him with the ball and say, "Here, I think there's room for sentimentality under those circumstances.
If you can't be sentimental at 3-1 up when you've already won the league at home, you never will be.
I remember, was it a couple of years ago, or well, more than a couple of years ago, to give Izaguirre a spot kick. He scored two, I'm sure.
Yeah, and he blazed
the first half. Blazed him for the ball.
That was the worst penalty of all time. Against Dundee, was it?
Something like that, I remember.
So
that.
What's he got? 16 consecutive seasons going for 17. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Quite astonishing. I was sitting on the bench for his first.
Very much.
Against Motherwell.
Against Motherwell, yeah.
Paolo Bernardo also getting stripped. So if your Hibs, if there's not a lot of let up, they made a raft of changes themselves that I forgot to tell you about, my apologies. The likes of Bowie, Cadden, Hoylett were involved. Nicky Cadden, that is, sorry. So plenty of changes getting made. It's roasting as well. David Friel is struggling. He's wilting in the heat.
He must have factored 50 on it.
Having another water break as well.
Who, David Friel?
Yeah.
No, he's got the water bottles cushion all over his face and everything, and I can just picture him, that beater out, just his missus in bed and I going, you're in the spare room, I'm too warm. Look at the face. Look at the face.
That was going
he had the worried
on the red face, sorry.
Anyway, Finlay Robertson on, Palmer Holden off for Dundee. We're going to get into late drama.
You're right about Tony Docherty, though. I mean, you're now talking about a man at the end of his tether, and such an important call. 37 points, 2 ahead of Ross County. Did you say they play next week? Ross County, Dundee?
Dundee. Ooh. I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
Could be wrong. But you usually I'm up to.
You know your fixtures inside out.
Yeah, usually.
A big couple of weeks coming for those teams. I mean, I've been in a good few relegation battles myself as a player, and they're not easy. Just stress throughout the week. Because at that level, I think we were touching on it earlier, it is people's livelihoods that are affected.
Yeah.
Maybe not players as much, well, but yeah, players as well, but they're not your primary concern. It's more staff members at the club.
When are Thistle, what's the schedule now again? Remind us, when do you play Livingston?
Tuesday for Hill. Friday.
Are you training tomorrow?
Been tomorrow morning, yep.
I'm looking for a game of golf tomorrow. Put it out there, gone quickly. I'm in Ayrshire, Galston, Loudoun Golf Club.
I want to
go back to the playoffs if you don't mind. Standing ovation for Lauren Shanklin, no hat trick, but he does go off to be replaced by James Wilson. Celtic making those changes. Forrest and Bernardo on for Kuhn and McGregor.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Goal Dundee, and it is Lyle Cameron. You all know he will not be playing his football at Dundee next season. He's off to Rangers, but he's leaving them with what could be a massive goal. It's an equaliser for the Dens Park side down at Rugby Park. Lyle Cameron with it.
I thought I was a stick-on draw tonight. I really did. It's a big goal, isn't it? Makes a bit of difference in the league table, gives them a little bit of breathing space with Ross County losing, and they play them at home next week, so
that's their cup final.
Yeah, and you would fancy the way Ross County's going about their business just now, Dundee would beat them at home.
As things stand, it's 7 defeats in a row for Doncowie. 7.
Scores from about 12 yards out, Lyle Cameron. It was Adewumi with the pass, gets in decent shooting range and makes no mistake. Game on.
Well done to Lyle Cameron, though, because the speculation, or people were chatting about, he might go off the boil, how he was going to handle it.
I think he's had a bit of stick as well, to be fair, about performances last week. I saw a lot of Dundee fans grumbling about the game against Motherwell.
Well, that, look, players can have the one-off bad game, but I don't think his form, what I've seen him anyway from that time, has been poor. I think he's gave his all for the team, because that's always the argument. Somebody signs a pre-contract, it's, I think people actually think they're just down tools and they don't care. That's just so far from the truth. Those players have still got a job to do. They've still got to impress their new manager, their new fan base that they're going to, and obviously professional pride. So I think he can hold his head high. A good way to finish by scoring a goal today.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
They're not level for long. Kilmarnock have scored again, and it's Bruce Anderson this time. So that puts Dundee back in it once again. It's a header from 6 yards. Tony Docherty will be furious. The criticisms that have been coming his way for losing from good positions or dropping points or whatever, and we've got another one of these.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Oh, it's all changed. It's a goal for Ross County. It's a bad one for St Johnstone. Ronan Hale, it's a corner, bit of a scramble. He smashes it home. Always kicks the ball really hard, Ronan Hale. Have you noticed this?
Yes, wherever he is, smashes it.
Just shoots powerfully. And he's actually at point blank range, still blasts it home. And it's an equaliser there. St Johnstone 2, Ross County 2.
Is this not why we love the split? I love the split.
Oh yeah, it's good.
You know, it's exciting. It's changing from 1 minute to the other. All of a sudden, Dundee 1-1. You're thinking, yes, next week cup final, a point sees them over the line. Ross County back in it, Dundee behind.
As things stand, they are separated by 1 point. 37 points Dundee, 36 Ross County. They meet next weekend.
Stays like that, Don Cow, beginning a new 3-year deal.
She's still got that jumper on today. He wears it on every occasion, doesn't he?
With the jumper?
Oh, a jumper with a shirt under it combo. Loves it.
Michael Fimmer's sporting a cardigan today and it's roasting at
Tynecastle.
Come on,
Michael.
I don't know what he's thinking here.
Needs to be a T-shirt.
Now, there is a VAR check on this Ross County goal.
Oh.
Presumably for offside, says Roger Hanna. So we do have drama there in Perth. Because that stage of the season where a goal really changes everything either way, or a decision, not to say they don't contribute the same throughout the season, but it obviously just carries more drama. John Beaton's the ref, Greg Aitken on VAR, so that's a very experienced team of officials. That, let's see what they can come up with here. Ayunga's had a goal chalked off for offside for St Mirren, who by the sounds of it,
strolling it, eh?
Two up, goals chopped off for offside, doing very well St Mirren.
What a result that is, by the way, because Tannadice's been a hard place to go for teams this year. Well done, St Mirren.
Well, yeah. the decision regarding Ross County is...
no goal, offside. St Johnstone 2, Ross County 1.
Oh, that's a
ballot.
It's as you were.
We're back to Johnson. Next weekend being the cup final then. Dundee beat Ross County. Dundee safe, Ross County right in trouble.
This is incredible stuff. Remember that midweek card as well, of course, just in case anyone's forgotten about it. So during the week it is Dundee,
Wednesday night.
Dundee, Ross County.
Yeah.
Wednesday, 14th May.
Oh, yous aren't here on Wednesday, are yous?
Oh, no, we're away.
Oh, no, I genuinely forgot. I was going to go to the second half at Fir Park.
So was I.
Final home game of the season.
So was I. I was going to Motherwell Kamana.
We're in London.
Yous will be picking up our own trophy and giving who's doing the speech.
Oh, there's only one man for that job.
There's a London audience. We'll be ready for you.
It's genuinely a who's who of the radio industry in the entire British Isles. Can you imagine unleashing him?
Amazing. That'd be great. I just want to see you walk that room.
You might think it's unlikely, but like this station's one station of the year, like two out of the last 3 years or something.
Yeah.
We're not going for that. We're going for our own award.
No, but even if it's the big one, you need everybody goes
up. Everybody
on the
gets
stage.
Up.
Oh, no, I'm not bored with that.
Of
nonsense.
Course, you're a team player.
Does he discuss his bath night?
The Super Scoreboard will feature heavily in the Station of the Year nomination as part of it.
Who does that speech?
It could be you.
Could be you.
I mean, usually it's one of the
two speeches.
Usually it's one of the big hitters, a George Bowie, a Gary Spence. But this could be your year because they've won it a lot recently.
No bigger hitter than the Dazzler.
Exactly.
In London.
Oh, it'll be amazing. It'll be amazing with you just to rub shoulders with some of the
celebs,
the more famous people connected to radio throughout the UK. Okay. Get it, Gordon, get some videos. Get that phone ready.
My worry is I'm going to need to look after
him. You're going to have to shepherd him through the streets of
Zoe
London.
Ball and all that.
They're there.
Aye. Zoe Ball.
Why did you pick Zoe Ball by anybody?
I don't know.
Zoe Ball's not been seen since 98.
Do you know what I'm worried about? Is the, remember in Germany we had to teach him how to drop pins to tell us where he was?
Yes.
I can see this happening in London during the week. He's going to be dropping pins all over the place.
Gab's look after me. The first question I asked was, how far from the hotel to the gig? 5 minute walk.
That suit you, does it? Good.
Yeah.
Right, anyway, let's concentrate on the football because the thing's slightly more important than your future
speech
this week. Hugh, remind us of your teaser, please, one more time.
I have played with Shane Duffy and Lee Hodgson. I have been managed by Mark McGee and Lee Johnson. I played for two Scottish clubs in two different decades and I won one major trophy while playing here. Who am I?
Chris wants to throw in Aidan McGeady.
No.
Gordy Boy would like to suggest Adam Virgo.
No.
Craig Meikle thinks Declan John.
No.
Great answers coming in. Greg's had another go with Paul Hartley.
No, no. I'll say no, he's too busy.
Did I say it? Oh, sorry.
No, he's too busy talking to Mark.
Paul Hartley involved in the playoffs?
Yeah,
Cove,
they were 2-0 up last I checked, but that may well have changed. So they were playing Queen of the South, weren't they?
Is that 0-0 from the first leg?
It was indeed.
Yep.
How's East 5 going, Dick Campbell?
Just checking them for you, don't you worry. 2-1 now, Cove, into 5 minutes of additional time there, so that could get a bit fraught.
Oh.
East Fife currently are 3-0 up on Edinburgh City.
Oh, so they were losing 1-0 in the first leg,
so they'll be absolutely fine.
Airdrie, home and hosed, I take it.
Well, they had a very comfortable first leg
3-1,
lead, didn't they?
Was it?
They were, I think they were 3-0 up there.
3
2-1 up today.
Yeah, I'd say
thanks to that, yeah.
Yeah, so pretty comfortable there. And one final check for the meantime, since we're on the topic of East Kilbride, still 3-1 up against Bonnyrigg Rose. Couple of changes. Celtic McCowan on for Hatate, who scored. Adam Ida goes off for Johnny Kenny. Hugh, a lot of clamour for him to get some game time this week.
Yeah, Celtic have got to find out whether he truly is a Celtic player or whether he goes out on loan again next season. So he doesn't have much time, but he's got to seize the chance whenever it comes. If he'd scored at Ibrox last Sunday, then of course he'd be a hero for one half of the city. But poor old Dizen Maida was still jet lagged at the time and didn't give him the appropriate pass.
Motherwell Davor comes on for Slattery. Wonder if these are amongst the players that are trying to catch the eye of Michael Vimmer for next season. Motherwell have so many players, you'd imagine a big turnaround in that break.
I think that is an important point, Gordon, you make, because such a big squad, the manager, this is going to be the first real time he's going to be allowed to do a wee bit of surgery to his squad. Obviously they'll have to offload some of those players, so you are genuinely playing for your future, even though these games don't mean much. So big, big summer for Motherwell and Michael Vimmer coming up.
Well, interestingly, this week gave a new contract to Paul McGinn, captain, and very good and very reliable, but Michael Vimmer's never seen him, so probably in the flesh, sorry, you know, as Motherwell manager, so it must speak volumes to the impact he had before, or the level of analysis that Michael Vimmer's done, having watched his previous games back, because he's, like I said, he's never managed them.
What age is he?
Gets a new contract. He's about 34, I think, Paul McGinn, maybe.
Well, Scott Allen was talking last night, and he said that he has the highest admiration for Paul McGinn, having played with him at Hibs, and really rates him.
Yeah, I think obviously a popular player at Motherwell, just trying to make sure his fitness is back up to where he'll want it to be.
What about Stephen O'Donnell? Has he got another year at Motherwell?
I think he triggered a year, didn't he, earlier on in the season?
I'm thinking about some managers go in, you know, with an age group in mind or an average age that they want their squad. But you've got McGinn, you've got Andy Hardy, Stephen O'Donnell. I wonder if he's thinking about lowering that age of his squad.
Well, because the average age instantly jumps up when your main player is no longer 18 as well. Because again, presumably everyone goes, Jordan McGee is going to come in from Dundee, 28. So you're right, wonder what the rest will look like. Right, 4 minutes added at Tannadice. St Mirren 2-0 up, so they should be fine. 10 minutes added in Perth.
What?
Roger Hanna's in for the long haul. Ten minutes added in Perth.
Ooh.
The very last thing that Seema Vallecari needed.
Yeah, and 10 minutes.
David Friel is 8 minutes behind that.
18 minutes?
No, he's not. He's only played 82 minutes.
Ah, of course, I had him early, yeah.
So he's
He's got another.
Oh, be a rude face. He'll be blessed
up on the 50 just now.
He'll be
reapply.
You know, he had to borrow someone's sun cream and put it on. He didn't bring a hat.
No way.
Didn't bring a hat or sun cream or sunglasses. And you said, ach, listen, most of them will be sitting in the shade earlier on. But see that new main stand at Tynecastle and you're quite low down? That sun will just be on him the full day.
He goes beer out when the central heating goes on, he says.
Andy Halliday taking off, gets a good reception from the Hearts fans.
Do you think he's applauding both sides?
He'll be waving at it.
Yeah. Probably.
Kissing the badge, the mother will win, then taking off, and he's got a Hearts report.
Should I send your message? Oh, Shall I send your message?
Yeah, big Brian Graham.
There was that Sprangler injury. There was the VAR check for Roger Hannah between St Johnstone and County. That's why there's 10 added on. Simo Vallecari, who, as you say, will be besides himself.
Well, I told
How
you.
Were your nerves when 7 went up last night in a game with no VAR?
Honestly, I wasn't happy. I'm thinking, where does 7 minutes come from? 7 minutes last week against Livy, 7 minutes this week.
But you look calm. I've got to say, I was very impressed with you.
What, my calm demeanour?
Yeah.
Well, you've known me for the past 10 years. I shouldn't be surprised.
Boring, but you look boring and calm's two
you're
different
putting
things.
Me in with Fraser there in the boring.
Is that your way? Because you genuinely even you didn't even celebrate. You didn't give it big licks on the celebrations. Is that not your style?
Fuck no. What do you want me to do? Run
you
about
the Champions League.
Everybody else was.
You run up the touchline fans.
I celebrated when the goal went in, but the camera wouldn't have been on me. But then you need to keep calm.
I like it. He's composed.
Yeah, he's learning.
Exactly, because what if he had got up the other side? And, you know what I mean? You look like an idiot.
Your heart rate's right up.
What's the feeling? You know, obviously, you just beat Livingston in the final game of the season. You know them well. Do you have that? Where's the balance there between sort of confidence, obviously, that you can go and do it, and an appreciation for just what a slog it is when you're the team that finishes fourth and you seem to be dropping like flies?
Well, the amount of, you know, knocks, injuries we've picked up... Obviously, it is difficult because over the course of the season, Livingston, you know, and Falkirk were by far the best teams in the division, way further ahead in points than we are. But head to head, obviously, anything can happen. We drew against them 1-1 at Firhill. The game was incredibly tight, then obviously beat them. But it's going to be tough, of course. It is going to be tough. They've got a lot of good, experienced players, but you never know. Not many expected us to beat Falkirk, then Livy. Not many expected us to beat Ayr. So when you're on that sort of run and the squad feels good about themselves, anything can happen.
We will be taking your calls soon, don't forget. And I'd love to hear from you, Partick Thistle fans. How good was last night? Give us a call. That could have been the moment James Forrest was through down the side of the box, a bit of a half chance, and it was saved. The flag maybe, or a VAR check maybe, would have... I ruled it out in the end. There was a hint of offside, but nevertheless, it's the closest we've seen in theory to James Forrest adding to that run. He's looking for his 17th consecutive season of scoring a goal for Celtic. Must be hard though, because we spoke about penalties, which is an obvious opportunity, Mark. But apart from that, you don't want to force it either, do you, and start just shooting wildly or making decisions you wouldn't normally make?
Nah, and I don't think he's the type of player that would. I think there's plenty of players that would do that, and this man probably would have been the same if he was on such a start. But I don't think James Forrest.
It'd be a great achievement, but I agree with Mark. I don't think that's in the back of his. Look, he'd love to do it, of course, but other players would be desperate and give me everything.
9 minutes added now at Rugby Park as well. Starting from now.
Have we got enough time in the show to get Roger and David?
This might be the first time we take phone calls before we've heard some of the full-time reports. That is quite remarkable. And by contrast, it's finished at Tannadice. What a result. Well done, St Mirren.
Bravo. Yeah, absolutely. The season's petering out for Dundee United. Celtic took 5 off them at Tannadice. St Mirren have gone up there and done what St Mirren do. Get about their business. Man drawn.
Got a goal at Rugby Park. Oh. Which way's it gone?
Goal flashes. With M&D Green Pharmacy.
It goes to the home side. Robbie Dees, a simple header at the back post, and that should be that 3-1 killy. It's Armstrong's corner.
Our mate from Germany.
It was the first person we met in Munich,
wasn't
it?
Good lad, he was having a great night, and he's having a good night tonight. Finishes it off, and I was all set up for the famous 2-2 between Killeen and Dundee there, wasn't
it? I know, that's why I thought today. That's why I went the draw.
Job done.
But it keeps
Killy safe.
Keeps up Ross County Dundee debate going for another few days to Wednesday.
Well, there's so much time added on in Perth that one's not over the line yet.
Ross County ain't getting back in that.
No.
Just something I meant to tell you about a few moments ago, a debut for McArdle, Hugh.
Sean McArdle,
on the bench
at Ibrox. I almost think of the parents, you know, I hope his parents are sitting there at Celtic Park and how proud they would feel. Brend Rogers, as I say, doesn't give free passes into the team. You have to earn it. And McArdle getting a precious cameo role at Celtic Park, and as I say, always think of the parents. If they're there, they must be bursting with pride.
Absolutely. Mark, I did wonder before we knock the playoff chat in the head for now, what did you make of Kilmarnock trolling Ayr after the defeat last night? Did you notice this?
I did see it, yes.
What were they doing?
So they were posting on Twitter, you know, basically just taking the mickey out of Ayr for losing.
The official Kilmarnock?
Yes.
See, not on your day, eh? That didn't happen when you were Ayr manager.
Because I used to beat them.
There was one that just simply said boing boing, I think. Was that yeah. got lots of likes. And there was another one sort of mocking them for their title run.
Surprised when Kilmarnock were still kind of in a relegation battle. Obviously it's safe enough tonight, but very presumptuous that.
What did you think of the stadium then?
The stadium?
Yeah, with the new stand.
Dreadful. Oh no, the new stand's good. The changing rooms are,
is it still the same?
One of the smallest, and they're right next to each other. No room to swing a can. Tiny.
Did you have a few? Right, okay. That's no change. That was my name up on the wall or something?
I didn't see it. I didn't see the statue either.
Three added Celtic Park. Get ready to give us your calls, Celtic fans, and assess the game for us today. Five added. David Friel's blistering. His skin is really, really struggling here. Miller took a sore one. Let's do it. Why not?
The second half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
I played with Shane Duffy and Lee Hodgson. I was managed by Mark McGee and Lee Johnson. I played for two Scottish clubs in two different decades, and I won one major trophy while playing here. I am Chris Iwolumo.
Chris Iwolumo, well done if you got that one right. Now, where is the podium? Do we have the podium yet to see who got it right? Let me try and find it.
Nobody's getting that.
Not a chance.
Do you know, I'd forgotten completely that he played in the Scottish Cup final of 2014
for St Johnstone
against Dundee United when he was on the bench, as was Mark Wilson.
Yeah, still never got over that.
I'm glad I didn't get that because I couldn't spell his name.
I think this is it. I think we've done it.
Somebody got
one? I think no one got it.
No,
I think
one
it's
did.
The first time. I think, anyway, I think.
Never got that, would you, Mark?
Shane Duffy and Lee Hodgson's the player.
Played with Shane Duffy at Burnley,
but
2010-2011.
We had to try and trick people because they always get it right.
Managed by Mark McGee at Brighton.
I think we've beaten them. I think we've finally.
I can't even remember them at Brighton.
Them.
Played with St Mirren 95-98.
Oh, listen to this.
Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Is late drama, is it enough? Lyle Cameron with his second 3-2 Kilmarnock. 4 minutes still to go.
No.
Still time for one last chance.
I don't think so. I think we'll finish 3-2.
Well, okay. I tell you what, Dundee will be right after them. Any possession they get, yep, direct.
Some's Dundee up though, absolutely no issue scoring goals. Score for fun.
Yeah.
But just concede crazy amounts at the other end.
Was that 70? Is it?
What were we at? Another three today conceded. Mm-hmm.
Oh, 76. 76 this season.
That's incredible, isn't it? 76 goals in a season you lose.
Well, not finished yet.
Yeah, that's true. Another two games to go.
Scored 54 though. The other way.
Well, you've got to say they've been entertaining.
Yep.
At full time, Celtic Park, have a listen, Celtic fans, and give us a call right now. What did you make of it today? Here's Andrew McLean.
Celtic 3, Hibs 1, the full time score. It was a bit of a slower start to things for Celtic, who fell behind in the first half, but a great reaction, and goals from Kun, Ida and Hatate mean it's a comfortable victory in the end for Brendan Rodgers' side. They had the warning sign when Kasper Schmeichel had to spread himself to make himself big and save from Martin Boyle in the first half. It had taken a lucky break to get to him that time, and it did again 25 minutes in. Josh Campbell's shot deflecting into his path, centre of the box. He just rolled it past Kasper Schmeichel to silence the home crowd and give the visitors the advantage, but Celtic showed that good reaction towards the end of the half. to go ahead before the break. They got the equaliser as Anthony Ralston played a ball over the top. Adam Eder and Rocky Bashira were battling away. That allowed space for Nicholas Kuhn just to nick the ball by Jordan Smith, and he had the empty net just to pass the ball into. Kuhn with the assist just before the break to give them the lead. A ball over the top for Adam Eder, who had missed a couple of chances earlier in the half, but made no mistake firing across Smith and into the back of the net for 2-1. Celtic ahead at the break, and despite Hibs trying to apply some pressure at times, the champions managed to see out the game pretty comfortably in the end, with the cushion coming around the hour mark, I should say. Maeda's ball from the left, it bounced up for Nicholas Kuhn, then there was some nice one-touch passing from him to McGregor to Engels, who then laid it off for Rayo Hatate. He had space about 15 yards out and did really well first time with his instep just to guide it into that bottom corner to make it 3-1. There was even time for 17-year-old Celtic midfielder Sean McArdle to come on for his debut. The Celtic players out there high-fiving with each other, showing the crowd the appreciation. The next time they'll be back here is in 7 days' time, when they'll lift the Premiership trophy, but they've got a trip to Pittodrie first. The full-time score, Celtic 3, Hibs 1.
And it's finished. A bit of late drama, but it's finished anyway for Roger Hanna at St Johnstone, Ross County. Are St Johnstone still in the top flight for now, Roger?
The Saints live to fight another day. Gordon, St Johnstone 2, Ross County 1. Incredible drama at McDermott Park as Simo Vallecari keeps St Johnstone in the Premiership just about. They're now within 3 points of County after inflicting a seventh consecutive defeat on Don Cowie's side, who are now anchored in that relegation playoff place ahead of the final two games of the season. Saints started badly. Adama Sidibe and Sam Curtis both missing chances, but they took the lead in 31 minutes. Outstanding Elliot Watts corner from the left, made by the head of Daniels Balodis. It hit the underside of the bar, came down and crept in at the foot of the post despite the best efforts of County keeper Jordan Amisa. Sidibe then had a snapshot deflected over the bar, with Amisa backpedalling, and Saints well on top at that stage. But County came into the game before the break. Alex Samuel had a chance, Ronan Hale too had an opportunity, and then he equalised in 41 minutes. Josh Nisbet free and Kieran Phillips down the right, and his low cross netted in the near post for Samuel, his first goal since a draw with the Saints in Dingle last September. At the start of the second half, Uche Ikpeazu should have put Saints ahead, but he fired over the bar after an amazing scramble in the 6 yard box. An incredible miss, but Saints did regain the lead on the hour mark. Watt guiding a short pass to Misa after being teed up by Sidibe. County thought they were level in 82 minutes. A corner swung in from the right. It wasn't clear. There was a scramble in the box, and Ronan Hill smashed the ball home. But after a long VAR check with referee John Beaton and the VAR official Greg Aiken, the goal was ruled out with Hale offside. There were 10 minutes added after two lengthy stoppages. The VAR checked an injury to Saints skipper Sven Strangler. In the 100th minute, goalkeeper Amisa up for two different corners. He then managed to scamper back and have a save from Saints sub Mackenzie Kerr. There was even drama as the game lapsed into the 101st minute. County defender Zach Ashworth sent off after a challenge, and it looked like some dissent to referee Beaton. County are in free fall. Saints might just get out of this. St Johnstone 2, Ross County 1.
Huge day in Perth. What about the capital, David Friel?
Full time, Gordon, Hearts 3, Motherwell 0. And if these are the final days of Lorne Shankland's Hearts craze, clearly intent on going out on a high. He followed up 2 goals against Ross County last weekend with another double against Motherwell here. It's been a difficult season for him, but Shankland looks back to his best. And I think in this form, it's fair to say there's no shortage of suitors come the summer. Hearts might try and get him a new contract. The new Hearts manager might get him a contract, but there will be clubs out there looking at him. Alan Forrest also netted for Hearts, as Liam Fox made it 2 wins out of 2 as interim manager. As for Motherwell, it was a day to forget, really. There wasn't too much goal mouth action before Shankland fired Hearts ahead on the half hour mark. Poor defending from Motherwell allowed the ball to reach a Hearts captain. He didn't mess about finding the bottom corner from 22 yards. Motherwell thought they'd levelled in 13 minutes. Callum Slattery the ball in the net. However, referee Ryan Lee ruled it out after a lengthy VAR check for all manner of reasons, really. Motherwell came out after the second half, tried to have a go. Tom Sparrow had a chance. Ryan Fulton made the save, but then Hearts upped it with 2 goals in 2 minutes on the hour mark. First, James Penrise picked out Lorne Shankland inside the box. Great cross and a great headed finish into the bottom corner. And then Alan Forrest was alert to make it 3-0 from close range after Jan Danda had a curling shot save. Shankland went off to a standing ovation before the end, and if he does depart, Hearts are going to miss him. Full time, Hearts 3, Motherwell 0.
And it's finished. Dramatic game as well at Rugby Park. Kilmarnock and Dundee was watched by Fraser Wishart.
It was a finish. Kilmarnock 3, Dundee 2. Kilmarnock fans absolutely delighted, but it was a nervy end to the game. But they are safe. They'll be in the Premiership next season. 3 wins in a row post-split have made them safe, and they're absolutely delighted, Kilmarnock fans, as the players go round the pitch. A deserved win Dundee might have the lot of the ball, but Kelly had the better chances. And goal from Armstrong, Anderson and Dees, but it was Lyle Cameron with the two from Dundee have given Kilmarnock the 3 points. Home side ahead at half time, 31st minute penalty. Armstrong with a free kick to the back post. Sid Palmer holding Liam Donnelly, jumping for the ball. Donnelly went down. Referee Don Robertson gave the penalty. Brief VAR check, penalty kick. Armstrong stepped up, top right, great penalty right into the top hand corner. Kelly could have had more. Carson made a couple of smart saves. Bruce Anderson missed an absolute sitter. Dundee had offered little in attack despite being 62% possession. But Kelly started the second half again on top. Murray played in Ndaba, run into the box, shot wildly over the bar. Tony Dock unhappy in the technical area, even more so with Stuart Finlay. Somehow missed a header. Brilliant Washington free kick, back post, a couple of yards out. Stuart made poor contact on the ball and the ball went wide. Dundee brought another Wumi for Tiffany. Sub did well immediately. He couldn't get purchase on his shot. Then a dramatic moment. Danny McInnes brought on skipper Kyle Vassell for Bobby Wales. Great reception for the skipper. Literally the first thing he does is go and mark Simon Murray. The ball's played over the top of the two of them. He pushes Murray. I thought it was very risky. Don Robertson said no penalty. VAR said go to the screen. The screen, I don't think, was working. There was a technical problem because Don Robertson wasn't staring at the screen, he was waiting. He then said no penalty. Not sure if it was the screen or maybe he did see it and felt it was stick by his original decision. I thought it was a penalty kick. 75 minutes gone, came the equaliser. Adam Wumi did really well, turning past to Leo Cameron. Really brave by the midfield player, bursting into the box 12 yards out. He lunged for the ball as a goalkeeper and Ndaba challenged him. The ball just bounced off the goalkeeper and dribbled into the back of the net. But they're only level for 2 minutes. Kelly took lead again. Simple goal. Murray crossing the left. Anderson got in front of a defender. 6 yard header bulleted past the goalkeeper. Subs Polworth, McKenzie and Vassell missed good chances. In 91 minutes, it looked like Robbie Dees had sealed the thing with a win. Simple goal, back post header from a deep Armstrong corner into the back of the net. But then it all changed again. 95 minutes, Lyle Cameron again. He got his second, a really good 20 yard shot low into the corner with 9 minutes stoppage time. But the stoppage, the clock had said 10 minutes, but Josh Mulligan's shot was saved really well at his right hand post by Kieran O'Hara. Focus now on Dundee. They can still be automatically relegated or in the playoffs. There are 5 Edison Johnson, 2 out of Ross County. They play both this week. A nervy week ahead for the Dens Park fans. Full time at Rugby Park. Kilmarnock 3, Dundee 2.
St Mirren fans, you'll be happy with what you're about to hear. Let's get Dave Galloway's take on events at Tannadice. Get your calls in right now, please. 01419511025. What did you make of today's action?
Well, it's finished Dundee United 0, St Mirren 2. The visitors first to threaten. Man drawn from outside the box, curled one just wide. The host hit back. And Hemming showed sharp reactions to save Doherty's shot from 6 yards. Play going from end to end. Idowu's shot rippled the side netting, but Dalby should have put Dundee United in front, heading over from close range from Middleton's cross. Mirren took a deserved lead after 31 minutes with a brilliant man-drawn goal. Ali Biosu found him outside the box and he curled low into the bottom corner. It appeared that Iunga had missed a great chance to make it 2-0, shooting over after being put clean through. However, his blushes were spared when offside was given, but United skipper Doherty headed Ferry's crossover when he really should have hit the target. Into the second half, and the Tangerines made a brisk start to the second period. Dalby shooting just wide, then he saw his header parried away by Hemming. Mandron went on a great charge for Saints, and his low drive was touched around the post at full stretch by Walton. It was 2-0 after 66 minutes. Nice low finish by Iunga after Idowu picked him out, but the defending was questionable, and that was being kind. Phillips blazed over when a loose ball fell to him. That really should have been number 3, and Ali Biosu's drive was deflected over. The Buddies well in command, a really good performance overall, and Iunga finished off a lovely passing move, only to be flagged up for offside. So that's 3 defeats in a row for the Tangerines, and the Saints, listen to the fans here, good 1,300 of them through here at Tannadice. They're now just 2 points behind them. Dundee United 0, St Mirren 2.
It's over to you. Come on then, 01419511025. You must be heading back from Celtic Park now. What did you make of it? Who caught your eye? Who impressed you? Yet another win, some more goals heading towards the cup final. St Mirren fans, it's a contender for result of the day for sure. Your fifth place finish could be on, still in sixth, but it's a very narrow gap now. Are you dreaming of what this season could still turn out to be? That's St Johnstone living to fight another day. Kilmarnock safe. It's really now going to be those bottom three sides to battle out. So lots to get through. Partick Thistle fans, I'm assuming the headaches might still be in place, but we'd like to know what you made of last night, and we can preview Rangers Aberdeen tomorrow as well. Give us a call right now and we'll speak to you next.
It's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. So give us a call. What did you make of the game at Celtic Park today? What impressed you about the performance? Who caught your eye? Maybe someone didn't and you're a harsh critic. Well, by all means, get it over to us. The more pressing matters in terms of what is to be won and lost still at the end of the season. What about you, St Mirren fans? How are you feeling? You have come to life after the split and you're very much in the hunt for fifth now, just 2 points behind Dundee United. St Johnstone live to fight another day. It will be between Dundee and Ross County and St Johnstone for those bottom two places, because Killy are safe. So how does that feel, Kilmarnock fans? Who knows what Derek McInnes will say this evening. That might be as interesting as the result itself at the end of a week that he's been heavily linked with the Hearts vacancy. Speaking of Hearts, battered Motherwell 3-0. Steelmen, what are you saying to that disappointing game after a bit of promise in recent weeks? Give us your thoughts. Partick Thistle fans, how much did you party last night? Make Mark Wilson jealous, because he had to be professional and prepare for the next game. But you could do what you like. So how was last night? What did you make of it? Can you go all the way? And of course, the small matter of that nice rivalry we always have between Rangers and Aberdeen tomorrow, Hugh.
Well, now that Aberdeen know that Hibs have lost, the incentive is with Jimmy Tilleen to go to Ibrox, see if he can get 3 points there. But they don't travel well, Aberdeen. That's one of their shortcomings. They do not travel well. And Rangers, Barry Ferguson, the incentive is obvious. He hasn't won a game at Ibrox as interim manager. And Rangers haven't won a game at Ibrox since February. So there's the incentive for Rangers, but Aberdeen have a points incentive. 12 o'clock kickoff, the weather's good, the sun is out. It might be a kind of sleepy atmosphere at Ibrox, who knows?
On today's games, plenty of goals round about the country. Celtic cruising over the line against Hibs after a rocky start. But the big ones, obviously Kilmarnock against Dundee, 3-2. But the big one, St Johnstone, Simo Vallecari, asked for everything out his side today to give themselves a fighting chance in the last two games. And they've certainly done that. St Johnstone, Ross County and Dundee all in a dogfight to survive and to avoid that relegation playoff place.
I highlighted at the beginning of the show at 2 o'clock that the most important thing for me was that bottom four. How it was going to look at this time, 5:15. Usually I say 4:45, but the way the games are going nowadays. And all of a sudden, St Johnstone gave themselves a lifeline there. Ross County and Dundee under severe pressure. And then we look forward to tomorrow, Rangers Aberdeen. And I think Hugh quite rightly says, Barry Ferguson is desperate for a win at Ibrox, but Aberdeen are chasing down third place.
Monday night, you know the drill. Roger Hanna usually and Andy Halliday pick their result of the weekend. I wonder if St Mirren will be high up on that list. Callum is a St Mirren fan. How good is this run you're on, Callum?
It's unbelievable. It's genuinely unbelievable. I think when we get into the top six, well, if you ask pretty much any fan, that was an achievement, really. It was making sure you were away for that wee cluster of teams that were in the bottom six, fighting to stay up. But the run we've went on since the spot, it's gave us a real chance to get into Europe again. And it's unbelievable. The team just never fails to beat your expectations anymore, to be honest.
Great point, Mark, because we all said it. And I'm glad that Callum, as a St Mirren fan, is kind of, you know, it's not like it was just us on the outside. We all said on that final day, making the top six for the sixth place team was actually about escaping relegation.
Yeah.
No, it was the best way to keep yourself safe from the jeopardy of the playoffs. But Stephen Robinson has thrown that back in everyone's face and just gone up and up and up in his expectation and his performance levels. We said again, if you throw in even, you know, selling Olasanya, it was almost like a, like it was a great piece of business, but it was almost like a kind of sign of, well, we've maybe done our bit for this season, you know, we don't need him here anymore. That might have been how people looked at it. But going up to Tannadice, winning 2-0 on the go.
Well, I think you could excuse them for probably getting their feet up and enjoying their holidays or upcoming holidays. But they've certainly not been like that at all. And they start off with the visit of Rangers. And they were unlucky, I thought, not to win that game. So it showed intent of what they were all about in these remaining games. Obviously, last week against Aberdeen, good 1-0 victory. But then it's different than away to Tannadice, where Jim Goodwin has got his eyes on the place above him trying to catch Aberdeen. So it's not as if it's a meaningless game for Dundee United. They are going at it, trying to win that game, and St Mirren go up there, and by the sounds of it, win pretty easily. So it's just been a remarkable end to the season, and I wonder how long Stephen Robinson's going to be at St Mirren. That's the only thing.
Oh, there's nothing worse, Callum, honestly. You're trying to enjoy your weekend, and this guy's moving your manager on. But in all seriousness, is there a kind of stage that he's just continuing to catch the eye?
Yeah, I think so, but you just need to kind of enjoy it whilst we can. I'm 17, so this is easily the best St Mirren team I've ever seen, and probably there's people a lot older than me that will be the best team they've seen as well. So you just need to enjoy times like this whilst we can, I think, because I've certainly seen it be a lot worse than what it is now, and he's definitely the best manager I've seen us have. So the longer we can keep on to him, the better. I'm not naive enough to think that there won't be teams looking at him, but we just need to try and keep a hold of him for as long as we can and enjoy the football whilst we've got him, I think.
Were you there today, Callum, or just keeping an eye and ear on it?
No, I couldn't make it through today. I was gutted, but I definitely kept an eye on the house. We were excellent again. We played really well. So.
Fast forward a week. St Mirren go to Celtic Park. Normally it's carnival time when Celtic get the championship trophy. But St Mirren could be going there with a real strong sense of purpose. And they'll give Celtic a proper workout, because there might be something in it for St Mirren, something big in it for St Mirren. So that's the kind of job that Stephen Robinson has done.
I'm more interested in Wednesday night, Gordon, that little 5 mile patch between Ibrox and St Mirren Park, because it's all going to really look at those two fixtures. St Mirren welcoming Hibs at the same time. Dundee United will be down at Ibrox. St Mirren fans will be praying that Barry Ferguson's side eventually find their winning touch at home. You wouldn't put it past the St Mirren team, as good as Hibs are, you know, winning that at home. So that could be the night that it swings, and then an early wait on the final day.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant if you're a St Mirren fan. The thing I like about the club is they now sell out their stadium. Everyone's bought into it. They love going along on a Saturday and watching their team. Stephen Robinson deserves all the praise in the world. Look, the one thing you can say about him, he knows how to get results in Scottish football. You've seen the job he done at Motherwell. Yes, he went down south with Morecambe, he went to. I don't think he had the greatest time. He comes back up to St Mirren. He builds his recruitment. Some people criticise it. Sometimes his style of play, I don't. He goes, he knows his best team. He knows his recruitment. He knows his style of football. And he goes and gets results. And the proof of the pudding's there. I thought that was a great result this afternoon. I really did.
Sore one for your old team, Mark. Because yeah, you know, they're the team that's just promoted. So really, even if you had offered them a sixth place finish at the start of the season, I think they would have taken it. But once you then get there, Jim Goodwin said that he's gone on record, you start reassessing your goals. You know, you push them up and up. So he won't want it to tail off like this. It is now three defeats on the bounce after three wins on a bounce.
Yeah, well, I think once they touched the Dizzy Heights, was it third place they got to, and it looked like they were in a real battle with Aberdeen for that third place before Hibs just came up the outside and overtook them all. Look, Jim will sit down at the end of the season, and no doubt he'll think this has been a remarkable season. They should get huge credit. But I know the standards he holds once he gets there. So, of course, run a three results on the bounce, three defeats on the bounce, should I say, will disappoint him. But he's still in there, he's still scrapping away, still got opportunities. And, you know, I think he gets a bit overlooked because of the newness of Jimmy Thilleen and then David Gray, everything he went through to propel Hibs. Jim Goodwin has been in there with a new squad and still battling away for a European place. I think that's remarkable also.
Thank you to Callum for kicking us off today. What did you make of the other games out there? 0141 951 1025. It is the perfect time to call, and we could get you on next.
The game
games are over, the talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Mark Wilson, fresh from Partick Thistle's playoff heroics last night, is here alongside Hugh Keevans and Gordon Dalziel. I like you two as well. It's just you don't have like a tagline at the moment does. Is that okay? And that's enough for us. Don't you worry about that. 0141 951 1025. Looking back on last night, if you so wish, or today, or even ahead to tomorrow. Celtic beat Hibs by 3-1. Let's get Bill's thoughts on it. Hi, Bill.
Hi there.
What did you make of it?
I thought the Hibs were lucky to go away with a 3-1 deficit, considering the amount of pressure that Celtic put them under. I think overall the stats were 76% Celtic and 23% to Hibernian, but Celtic had 92% accuracy with their passing, opposed to 70-odd% with Hibs. But I thought for 1 minute the old Iron Curtain had come down, the old Rangers Iron Curtain, the way Hibs kept playing offside in the first half. I think Celtic were maybe a bit over-eager, but Hibs were certainly playing with an Iron Curtain at the back. But the scoreline, I think, flattered them. At the end of the day, it was a fairly routine result for Celtic. The one thing I would take from the game was that, in view of the fact that Jota's going to be out for 69 months, we could do with a goal-scoring winger. Why not sign up Martin Boyle? He's going to be a free agent at the end of the summer.
Well, let's start on the last point. I like that. I like a creative suggestion on here. What are you shaking your head at?
No, not for me. Martin Boyle's not a free scoring winger. What's happened to Martin Boyle is he's been through the middle and he's playing as a central player and he's scoring goals. He's in having a great season. Now, good player, good experienced player, good pace. He's not what Celtic would even look at. So as much as that's not been disrespectful to him, I don't think Martin Boyle would get into Celtic and playing the way there.
I feel like we had this discussion a few years ago.
We did.
He's now 32. Is that maybe the bit mark that if it wasn't a goer then? Because he dipped a bit maybe last year or the start of this year, but he was excellent a few seasons ago. You remember the game against Rangers at Hampden and stuff. You know, yeah. he was brilliant a few years ago and it never came to anything.
Well, I think back then, you know, obviously a few years younger. Playing in the wide area more consistently, he would have fitted more what Celtic would have been after. And even at that, he wouldn't have been, you know, a regular star. He would have been somebody who probably, you know, contributed off the bench. But you're right, 32 years old, he's playing through the middle for a reason. No, I don't think he'd be in Celtic's mould to look at.
He doesn't fit the player trading model. And therefore, much as he might be amenable to the idea, it won't come his way. I just wonder if Bill can enlighten us. You know, Celtic having all of that possession, Hibs aren't there to entertain Celtic fans. They're there to do the best for Hibs, and if they can get a point out of the day, then they're satisfied. So, but Bill, to what extent did Celtic contribute to it only being 3-1? Did they have chances that they could have taken?
Yes, I think they had chances that they could have taken. And I think particularly in the first half when Celtic were caught offside so many times, it was partly down to their exuberance at trying to go forward, which caught them out. But there was no doubt the Hibs were playing a destructive, back line. But I say Celtic were more than due what they got and could probably have had another couple of goals at the very least.
It's worth correct something. I think I said earlier 19 for Martin Boyle this season. It's 18. I was including the one he got for Australia. Bill, are you impressed with the way that Celtic played today? Just considering, like, another favourites to win the game. So, you know, you expect it in a way. But these maybe would be the types of games, because they have won the league. There is a cup final round the corner. Hibs are actually a good team. They're one of the better teams in our league. You know, Celtic maybe could have come off it today, but didn't.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Even right up into the last couple of minutes, Celtic were chasing balls, doing the pressing against Hibs. So there's no doubt, in my opinion, that they thoroughly deserved the result and probably more. And it's just a wee point on Martin Boyle. I didn't say that Celtic would need to play him on the wing. We're going to lose the number of goals that Jota contributes. And sometimes it might not be a bad idea for us to play two through the middle.
Well, as I say, it doesn't fit the Celtic player trading model, and I really don't think, with the best will in the world, that it will come to pass. There's one other source of fascination for me. Celtic made 5 substitutions, and Maeda still played for the whole 90 minutes and whatever was added on. It's astonishing. You know, we spoke about possible rotation, the Aberdeen game to come midweek, the cup final 2 weeks away, but 5 substitutions and Maeda sticks with it the whole day long.
He's just a machine, Mark. He's actually gone 3 domestic games without scoring, which feels like a big deal. I think it's only the second or I think it's the third time this season he's gone 3, which is not a lot. But yes, it's some effort, isn't it?
Incredible. I mean, it's a good time to wind down in terms of goals when the league's done and dusted, because you want to, you know, contribute when it really matters. But he'll want to, you know, get back on the score sheet just before the cup final. But the amount of minutes he plays, the distances he must cover, the high speed running, incredible. And he just fits the mould. He fits the plan that Brendan Rodgers wants for a wide player. But also you shift him in the middle, like Daz touches on time and time again. He does that as well, and he stretches back lines. So on Bill's point about Hibs's line, if they were playing that high and try to play offside, it's incredibly brave to play that way against a Celtic side containing guys like Maeda, who will run unselfishly for the team time and time again and behind. And obviously that's what happened, and they end up getting the rewards in the end. But an incredible player this season for Celtic, Maeda.
Yeah, he's been absolutely brilliant, and he'll pick up the player of the year for the sports writers as well, no doubt about that, and deservedly so. I like Maeda through the middle, right? I can totally understand what Brendan Rodgers is doing just now, because he does contribute there as well. But for me, if I was playing my big cup final, Maeda would be my centre forward, because I just think defenders are terrified of his space, especially through the middle. They drop off deep, they leave the space for Celtic's midfield to go and dominate. It'll be interesting to see. But take nothing away from Adam Ida. He's come into the team, he's scoring goals. He scored 2 up at Tannadice, he scored the goal at Ibrox, and he's got on the goal sheet today. So he's doing his job, and he's certainly making a claim for a cup final against Aberdeen.
Thank you very much to Bill. If you want to join in like Bill has, please do. 01419511025. I suppose, Mark, for Hibs, that this is not the game that you would judge them by. You look at the run they've gone on, it's been fantastic. They still sit in third. You know, Dundee United are pretty much done, really, in that sense. They remain 6 points behind Hibs, so not officially, but it would take quite something. And Aberdeen might well go to Ibrox tomorrow. I suppose there's no fear factor now, according to Barry Ferguson. But you're not going to hold it against Hibs too much, going to Celtic Park and losing, ultimately.
Oh, not at all. And I think, yeah, the way they start the game obviously lets you know what kind of place they're in just now. And it was a similar story when they went there before. They're brave. I think they play the game they're out with. I think David Gray's got a good tune out his side. But no doubt, they've only lost, 10 games this season. You think of that with the start that they've had, because it seemed much worse at the time. It seemed almost like they were losing every single week. Of course they weren't. They were maybe picking up the occasional draw here and there. But that winning run has taken them to 15 wins this season, and they're still not done yet. So I think it's been a great season for David Gray, considering the start he had, no doubt about it. And I think the Hibs board will do well in the summer to back him, and who knows where he can lead that team to next year.
Yeah, I agree with Mark. I think if you're a Hibs fan, you're walking away from Celtic Park today, you know it's always going to be difficult. Brendan Rodgers has got everyone on their toes. I think the Hibs fans would have been going along there thinking, like we were all saying, oh, I wonder if he'll play some of the young boys and hopefully get an opportunity. Celtic lined up with a very strong starting 11, and Hugh quite rightly says, probably if everyone's fit, there's only 2 changes for the cup final team. So it shows you how much Brendan Rodgers looked at Hibs, respected them as a team, everything about them, but you were always going to be up against it at Celtic Park against Celtic.
Okay, let's bring in Stephen, who's a Rangers fan. How are you, Stephen?
I'm good, yourself?
Good, thanks. You finally going to get this home win under Barry Ferguson tomorrow?
Yep.
What makes you so confident?
I think because the way he's been managing the players really recently, he's done really well.
I know they're impressive in you. They like the way he's speaking and whatever, but the results haven't been good.
No, the numbers don't stack up. 12 games, four wins, none of them at Ibrox. So Stephen's either easily pleased or he hasn't really looked at the stats, because that's a poor record and it has to improve. I don't think Barry Ferguson has any chance of being Rangers manager under the new American regime. But for his own personal pride, he doesn't want to go out of the job of interim manager with people saying he never won a game at Ibrox.
Who would you like to be your new manager, Stephen?
I think I would love the new manager to be Stephen Gerrard.
Yeah, it's a name we hear a lot, Mark. I just want, I'm fascinated to see how it plays out with him. If they want something shiny and new and a total fresh start, then it just can't be him, you know, irrespective of how you rate his first spell.
I can understand why Rangers fans, some Rangers fans, would want him back. You think of when Stephen Gerrard arrived at the club and what circumstances, and automatically with him driving the club, the standards went up. I think you could see the fans connected with him just because he's playing career. And okay, he won one league title and he's tying one piece of silverware, but he still won a league title. I mean, the others who came before him and after him haven't done that. So it was a success to a certain extent. He did enough in the Rangers' job in European to attract a Premiership club to come and take him, a big one. So you can see why some Rangers fans would want him.
Thank you to Stephen. We'll take more of your calls when we return.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Into the final part, so we're getting closer to the end, but still time to give us a call on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. What about tomorrow's game as well at Ibrox? We're looking back on today's games. Last night, Thistle fans, how are you feeling? Hearts beat Motherwell 3-0. Lawrence Shanklin looking back to his best. Motherwell did have a goal ruled out at 1-0 down. Here was Michael Vimmer's take.
I heard offside, so, but I didn't see it on television. But I think it's, we talk each weekend about the referees, about the VAR, so I don't really want to talk about this. My only thing is what I always say, and I say this, but in Austria and in Germany, if the VAR says something, and if the VAR says, hey, come on, I have something to say, then in my opinion, it should be a clear mistake. And if then the VAR take 5 minutes, and the referee takes 5 minutes again on the monitor, then for me it could not be a clear decision. So this is the only thing I want to say, if it then was offside or not. Please let the referee take the responsibility and say goal or not goal. And yeah, he should be brave enough. Each guy makes mistakes, and no worries, then it was a mistake. But if you need 10 minutes to take a decision, I think it's a long time.
Well, do you know what? It's been a great week for those who believe in these things, even themselves out across the season, because it had shades of last week at Dens. It's not the exact same. I take his point, it should be clear, but then again, it's offside, so really you're just obliged to establish whether it's offside, you know, factually sort of thing. This is a bit muddier because we're talking about a subjective element here, whether there is a player in front of the goalkeeper or not.
I've got a mad idea going round in my mind. There should be a time limit on VAR. If you can't prove something conclusively inside a minute and a half, then what are you looking for? If you then, on the balance of probabilities, you're looking for something that isn't there.
I think a lot of people would agree with you. The only problem, and it is a big one, Mark, is, to be fair, there are going to be times where you're having to check the phase of play, you're having to check a very complex offside in a penalty box that's full of people.
Yeah.
You're then maybe having to check a subjective element about whether somebody has challenged for a ball or whether someone's in the line of the goalkeeper. You can't just abandon those rules because it's taken too long. In many ways, you had to decide this all before. See if VAR's going to do this, then just don't do it. You know what I mean? Don't have it. But whilst it is there, you can't really think, oh, well, there we go, 90 seconds up. But if we'd given ourselves 93, he might have spotted an infringement. So it's difficult, to be fair.
Comes like a contestant in a game show then. The referees are under enough pressure when they've got a clock on them to try and figure out all that Gordon's just mentioned there. I think it is unfair. But for me today, I've seen back the one. Is it Casey, I think, Dan Casey, I think he is in the goalkeeper's line of vision there.
Is it not unfair to go the other way where it's 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes?
I don't think it's unfair. I think it's rubbish. No. Yeah. But so that's a different thing. That's what I said. You need to almost take the
time when you signed up for it. Yeah, you're totally right. That there were no time limits on it, so you have to give, if it's about getting it right or wrong, you have to give them enough time to study the pictures in front of them.
We've seen it back, and right away you know that that's got to be ruled for offside. Well, yeah, for the player interfering with the goalkeeper.
Those ones are, because so see if the ball ends up in the other bottom corner.
Yeah,
that goal stands.
I think so.
Wouldn't it be great to the club's public address system play the countdown music?
So if that's what we need in Scottish football.
If that ball goes in the other corner, it stands.
So
when the ball is struck, I think this is maybe where Michael Vimmer's frustrated. As soon as the ball struck, I don't think Casey is right in front of Craig Gordon. But because the strike goes to Craig Gordon's right, as soon as he starts to move, he maybe then becomes behind him at that point. But
yeah,
over the piece, Gordon. Again, the reason I say it's the shades of last week. Motherwell were beaten today, and they need to take their own responsibility for that, the same way Dundee did last week.
Yeah.
But when these things come at a crucial time in the game, that's when you feel that it maybe could have been different.
I think that's where the frustration comes from the managers. They think, hold on a minute, if we'd have got back level turns, we could have probably kicked on or maybe got a little bit more confidence from that goal. I was ruled out, but you're right, they were comfortably beat today with Hearts. We all looked at the one at Dundee last week. We thought that the referee got it right. I've heard numerous people saying it was a wrong decision. I agree with Hugh slightly. I'm not saying that I have to be a clock on it. I think the fans are frustrated. I think VAR needs to be a little bit more decisive and quicker.
Okay, let's see what else you've got there on 0141 951 1025. I thought we were about to hear from a Thistle fan, Mark Wilson. I thought he was coming on to speak to you, but I don't know where he's disappeared to. Jamie in Maryhill, feel free to call us back, because I thought we had him lined up there, given as he's, maybe it was just his match report from his night out last night to celebrate. Maybe it had nothing to do with the game.
A few of your haunts down there would have been busy last night.
That's the only reason I was going to come.
Just on that game at Tynecastle before we move on, Hugh, it was the only dead rubber we had today, so I don't want to labour the point too much, but interesting that Lauren Shanklin comes back and scores two for the second week in succession.
Well, I don't disagree with Gordon Dale. I do think that players thinking ahead, contract talks or a move elsewhere, and they hit a belated spurt, but he's had a poor season by his own admittedly high standards. He has had a very poor season, and Neil Critchley will be feeling hard done by that. He's now been sacked as Shanklin comes back to life. But he's a proven goal scorer, but he's had a poor season. But belatedly now, he's doing well for Hearts.
The thing you say there, Hugh, and I know that I can be put up here for an argument. You said he's a proven goal scorer. Why would you then play him in a number 10 role and take him away from the goals?
Yeah.
Right,
I'm not obviously not saying it's right, because the evidence is there, but it's clearly all built around, if you've got this whole notion of your, you know, you come into your job, you guys know the pressures, and you want the full team to function the way you do.
Mm-hmm.
If that revolves around strikers that run in behind, then Lauren Shanklin can't be one of those guys. I'll repeat it, I'm not saying it's right, mm-hmm. but that's clearly the thinking,
but
isn't it?
But the proof's quite simple. He doesn't need to run in behind. He can score goals.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about if you're full, you know what I mean?
If you're looking at how you're going to play, your full
setup revolves around that, then you can't have him in that role. However, you then maybe do need to bite the bullet and say, well, my setup's wrong and I'm going to play to the strengths of the players 100%. That I've got here. I do
100%.
That.
That's why you've got a manager down the road there in Paisley who is getting all the plaudits in the world, and rightly so. He placed his players' strengths, and that's good management. And Mark will tell you, he's in the game just now. You play your players' strengths. You don't try to invent this new system of going, well, I'm going to want to play in behind my pace, but I'll take my top goal scorer who won player of the year, score 30 plus goals, and I'll stick him in the number 10 role. That's poor management for me.
I think, to be fair, there have been times in the past, I remember when Josh Ginnelly was at Hearts, that Shanklin
played that role.
Shanklin did play off the front,
scored plenty of goals.
I don't think
we
should be too selective.
I think there was obviously a link player in there for Hearts as well, or a reliable link player, and I think that's where Shankland might have suffered because he probably wanted to play through the middle, but he's been chosen for that job as well for the team. So you get players like that, I can do a couple of jobs for a team, and he's certainly one. But I do tend to agree with Daz because the proof is there.
Absolutely. Let's bring in Jamie, who is a Partick Thistle fan. How are you, Jamie? How good was last night?
Yeah. I'm not bad, guys. How are you?
Good, good, good. Did you enjoy it?
It was amazing. Just want to congratulate you, Mark. It was amazing last night.
Cheers, Jamie. Thank you. Glad you enjoyed it.
I mean, I don't know if you looked like you enjoyed it. You couldn't meet anybody, see anybody that looked less dull than Gordon Dale, so.
Jamie, leave me out of this. It's nothing to do with me. Have a go.
He's rubbing off on me, Jamie.
He says that was him just being composed, Jamie, and just trying to not get carried away.
Well, hopefully Tuesday and Friday the same, but the thing I was wanting to ask you is, do you want the job, Mark? Do you think you and Brian?
This is great. I don't think we've ever put him on the spot like this. Oh, this is brilliant.
I think.
Come on, here's your big interview.
I think anybody that goes into the interim role obviously goes into it with a hope of doing well to be under consideration. I think Brian and I are no different. That we came in thinking, okay, let's see how it goes, let's stabilise the club, let's try and take it in the right direction. And then if that goes well, then of course we'd be up for speaking to the club. So there's still a lot to be done, but
has that desire increased based on your experiences
probably,
within it?
Yeah, because, you know, I've been there before, and, you know, I've been with Airdrie where we were kind of semi-successful in getting to the playoffs, and I've been with Brecon, so I've taken my fair share of defeats in that, and then stepping back and kind of learning a bit more with under-18s has put me in a place that I've enjoyed this past 12 games or 13 games or whatever it is, and feel like I'm probably, you know, ready to go back in. But whether that's at Thistle or, you know, back to the 18s, whatever the sporting director decides, that's fine for now. But I've certainly enjoyed my time.
Just to let you know, Jamie, all the boys in Super Scoreboard on a Saturday is desperate for him to get a job. Desperate.
How good was your young left back that obviously played for Mark's 18s, Jamie, and got pitched in last night?
See, as soon as the team comes out, it was one of the ones. Everybody's going, "Who's that? Who's this wee guy?" And then 5 minutes in, you're going, "I'll give him a 5-year contract."
That's the way it works. And I know obviously he is a young man, and this would be rich coming from me, but particularly baby faced, that was what was so good about
it. He is.
Seeming Brian Graham was lifting him at the end. It looked like his son that he was lifting up.
Well, he is baby faced, but he can certainly handle himself in the dressing room in terms of the way he speaks and that, so he's got a bit about him as well. But Jamie's been great for what did I say earlier on, 18 months with me with under 18s.
Which boys club was it?
One over Barheadway. Right. I can't remember the name, it escapes me.
Does Brian Graham like it when people point out that he's 20 years older than Jamie Lowe?
Exactly. Brian's getting on, but he's still got plenty of mileage in him. But Jamie, fantastic left foot. He obviously got a lot to learn, but what a way to make your debut away here. Again, big physical players as well. That's the thing you've got to remember, because he's used to playing under-18 football and some reserve football. You know, against wingers who are maybe quick and nimble, air, big physical side, and they stood up to it brilliantly.
Jamie, do you think you can go and finish the job, or does the sort of physical and mental toll of having to go through all of these fixtures worry you?
The mental strength now, the team will take us through it. Just what Mark was saying there, see, the first thing that got us main done when he came on last night, he clatters through the back of the wee man, and you stood up and you see he's got his wee chatting arms, and you're thinking, he's just a wee boy and the size of Cutter's man, and it didn't even bother him. He just got on with the game. Fantastic.
Well, enjoy it. Tuesday night, is it?
Tuesday night.
Home first.
Home first for Hill. Yep, and then Friday night. I love it.
Well, good stuff, Jamie. Thank you for your call. Let's end just by looking forwards. Gordon, the obvious question is, how much does Barry Ferguson need or want a home win? It's been the 2nd of February since Rangers last won at home. They welcome Aberdeen tomorrow. He's not been responsible for the entirety of that run, but he's not tasted that victory yet.
That'll hurt him. You know the sort of guy he is. You know he's a Rangers man, as everyone turns around and tells you. The fact that Rangers haven't won a game since February 2nd, did you say there, Gordon? Against an Aberdeen team who've got a little bit of hope now, with Hibs getting beat today, close that gap in third. It will be difficult. I think Barry does not want to leave. If he does leave the interim manager's post, he will not want to leave without winning at Ibrox. He's got an opportunity tomorrow. I think it's 12 o'clock, early afternoon, kick-off. I think that Rangers will get that win tomorrow. I really do. I think it'll be a tough game, but I think they'll get it.
Do you give any attention, Hugh, to the fact that it does mean more to Aberdeen than it does to Rangers in terms of a tangible achievement?
Certainly more at stake for Aberdeen. There's nothing at stake other than personal pride for Barry Ferguson. I know he'll go on about the team and performances and so on and so forth, but this is a matter of personal pride for me. Barry Ferguson doesn't want to leave the interim manager's job, never having won at Ibrox. And I think tomorrow will be the day, but this has been the season when you can think all you like about Rangers. They have a nasty habit of letting themselves down. However, I'll finish by saying Aberdeen have won 5 games away from home all season. Dundee have won that number, and they're fighting relegation.
I mean, there would be a slight defence in there, Mark. You can't argue with the facts. However, that run, the only real terrible results have been the Hibs and Motherwell ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because obviously the other ones are European games and Celtic. So you could conceivably not win them. And again, if we're bringing Fenerbahce into the mix, it was actually part of a tie that they won. So the stat maybe sounds just a bit worse than it is, but it's still not great.
It's still not great, because that's what people will hone in on, and for years to come, even when Barry will be associated with the club. So Daz is right. Barry Ferguson will not want that on his watch. And it's not just Barry Ferguson. I know he stands out there and he takes the manager's kind of term, but also Neil McCann and Billy Dodds and Alan McGregor and all those, you know, Rangers kind of guys that came to the club. It shows you it's not easy to be a manager in that environment and win games, but he'll certainly not want to leave anything on the table, and particularly with the rivalry Aberdeen and Rangers throughout the year. So that's what makes that fascinating one tomorrow. But certainly more at stake for Aberdeen and Jimmy Thilleen, because they have got European places and third spot in their sights.
Go on then, Hugh, leave us with your final thoughts looking back on today.
Well, Celtic go to 106 goals for the season. They totally dominate Hibs after going a goal down. And I think today's team at the kick-off time was 2 players short of the cup final team, Alistair Johnson and Cameron Carter-Vickers. So Brendan Rodgers, well pleased. St Johnston, not so. They've got to go and fight for their lives midweek and final day of the season.
But they are still alive for now. St Johnston, some big results across the country today. A big game to come tomorrow. And whatever happens there, we will reflect on it all Monday night from 6 o'clock. So make sure you join us. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you for listening. The GBX is up next.